Last week, we dealt with the resurrection of buried believers. Today, we shall deal with the resurrection of the body. Let us read 1 Corinthians 15, 35 to 38 for the time being. Actually, we shall be covering the whole passage from 35 to 58. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they have when they come? Foolish one, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you are not sowing the future body, but only a seed, perhaps of wheat or another grain. But God gives it a body as he wants, and to each of the seeds his own body. And if you have your Bibles opened, keep your Bibles opened, because we shall be referring and studying every verse in the passage this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that you have given us of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and of our bodies, who, if they are buried, they will be raised. And therefore, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful hope that thou hast placed before us. And as we study it, and as we seek to know more about it, help us by thine Spirit to liven us up, to quicken us up, so that we may realize the importance of this very truth, that we may have hope, and our hope will govern our life for what we are today. We give you thanks, Lord, as we plead for thy Spirit's guidance in the study of thy word, in Christ's precious name. Amen. Very quickly, let me go through our previous study and the conclusions we arrived at. There were people who questioned whether those who had died would rise again, because up to this time, although Jesus had risen from the dead and they knew it, yet they had never seen anybody rising again from the dead. Would they rise again from the dead? Well, they must, because it is a condition of the full gospel in chapter 15, verse 3. Testified to by the word. You remember it says there in chapter 15, verse 3, Christ died according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again according to the scriptures. The word testified to the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was further testified to by witnesses. Peter, Cephas, was the first to be a witness to that. And then there were the 12. The 12, I pointed out last week, is the technical term, because after Judas Iscariot had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, there were no more 12. That at the first, Christ appeared to 10, without Thomas, and later on to Thomas, that would be 11. And these were witnesses of his post-resurrection appearance. Then there were also 500 brethren, and many of them were still living. There were also James, the half-brother of Jesus. There were also the apostles, all of them. They were witnesses to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, not to the resurrection, but the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the writer Paul himself was a witness. He met Christ on the road to Damascus, and Jesus appeared firstly to Mary Magdalene, a woman witness. So all these were witnesses that testified to the very resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they saw him after he had risen from the dead. So it is the only conclusion we can arrive at rationally. After that discussion, Paul went on to argue in a legal way. If then, I have no time to go through this, but if you are interested, today I have sent out a rumination on this very argument. If the dead rise not, then Jesus would not have risen. But then Jesus was risen. If Jesus had risen, then we would have this truth to preach to you. If Jesus had not risen, then our preaching would be in vain. If Jesus had not risen, then your faith would be in vain. If Jesus had not risen, you will still be in your sins. If Jesus had not risen, then if we just believe only in Jesus without his resurrection, then of all people, we will be most miserable and we will be most pitiful. That was a solid argument. You can read about it in my website if you refer to it when you have time. Eschatologically, Christ, the first fruit, after that, those that are his. Every man in his own order. Jesus was the first to rise again from the dead. Christ, the first fruits. Then, after that, those who are his, the church, raptured. Those in the Great Tribulation, some of them, many of them would die, martyred, they would rise again. And after that, the end will come. And when the end comes, there will be the judgment at the great white throne, and there will be a second resurrection at the end. I'd like you to note that there is no resurrection for Christ coming for Israel here. No resurrection. But there is a second resurrection. We shall note what it is afterwards. All right. So come at the end, when the heaven and the earth, the old heaven and the earth will be burnt up, a new heaven and a new earth will take place. When Christ will bring his kingdom and then will subject his kingdom and submit his kingdom to God the Father, that God may be all in all. That is how the whole, all the ages will end at the last times. That God may be all in all. That is the priority in all things. Now, so that roughly is the program of what was discussed in the earlier verses in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, let us go on. The first question and the first problem the Corinthian Christian posed to Paul was, can those who have died in Christ be risen or be raised again? Yes, because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Second, if these people could rise again, what kind of body would they have? How are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? And this will be the subject of our discussion this morning. How are the dead raised up, and what body will they come? Right. Answer to this question, the resurrection of Jesus Christ again. Because if we know how Jesus Christ rose again, with what body he had after he had risen from the dead, then that will be the body that we will have when we are raised from the dead. So only the resurrection of Christ can solve these problems. All right. So the resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 35-38. How say some of you, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Answer. The nature of the resurrection body, what is it like? Now you can follow me now from verses 35 to 50. Firstly, 36 to 41. Each creation has its own body and glory. That's the first basic principle we must know. Every creation has its own body and glory. Take the natural realm. Take the sea and the plant. The seed has its own nature and glory. A rambutan seed will grow into a rambutan plant. A durian seed will grow into a durian plant, a durian tree. A papaya seed will grow into papaya plant. each seed will grow, will have its own nature and glory. So that's the first principle that we need to know. But it not only applies to the realm of nature, it applies to every creature on earth. For example, it says that if the seed is of man, then that seed will grow into man. And that's why we human beings, the seed first planted in the womb of a lady. And that seed, when it develops, it becomes a man or a woman. What is a fleshly seed will have the nature of a fleshly man. Likewise, a fish. The seed of a fish will develop into a mature fish. Likewise, a bird. The seed of a fish will not become a bird. The fish, the seed of a bird will not become a man. Each seed will have its own nature. The nature will then have its own glory, the glory of each seed. Likewise, the celestial, the sun, the moon, and the stars. The sun has its glory. The moon has its glory. The star has its glory. The moon reflects the glory from the sun. So does the star. And so we see each element in the nature, in the natural world, or in the world of nature, in the world of human beings, in the celestial world, all have their own nature. And all will develop into their glory that has been prescribed for each one of them. So, the resurrected body will have its own nature, and the resurrected body will have its own glory. Do not, as human beings, we think that the resurrected body is the same as the natural body. It is not. Each one has its own nature. Each one has its own glory. The glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. What belongs to earth is earthly. What belongs to heaven is heavenly. Do not mistake the two. So when we, or when any Christian dies, he will, when he resurrects, have a new nature, and that new nature will have a new glory. Now, we must understand that basically so that we do not get confused. And so, a new nature, a new glory. Right. The nature of the resurrection body. Each creation has its own body and glory. That's what we have already concluded in our discussion just now. Next one. Death changes the nature of the body. We said just now, every creature has its own seed and then has its own nature and glory after that. How does that seed change its glory? In order for that seed to change its nature so that it becomes a nature that will have a glory to follow, then the body, the seed, must die. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 12, verse 24-25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it lieth alone. But if it dies, then it will come forth and bear forth much fruit." A seed without dying will never grow into a plant. The seed must first die. When it dies, it will grow into a plant, have a new nature, and it will start to bear fruit. A sinner, likewise, must die. When the sinner dies, he becomes a saint. And that's why Paul, in John chapter 1 Corinthians 15:31, says, "I die daily." He says again in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life of I live by faith, and the life I live is the faith is the life of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." If we are buried with him in baptism, then we should rise and walk with him in newness of life. So we see, in order for us to live, we must die. And as Christians today, in order for us to live, we must die to self. How do we die to self? We deny self. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, he that followeth me must deny himself. And therefore, a sinner must die before he becomes a saint. A soul, by a soul, I do not mean to the spiritual soul. A soul referring to a person is in his natural body, dies to become spiritual. That's the argument in 1544. Right. So death changes the nature of the body. In general, that's what we had discussed just now. Now, specifically, let's see how death changes the nature of the former creation to become a new nature. The changes in the body. When a person dies and he resurrects, he is sown in corruption, but he rises in incorruption. Corruption, of course, does not refer to the corruption that we see in our country today. That is not the corruption referred to. The corruption is the corruption of decay, all right, rot. And when we die, our bodies rot, our bodies decay. But when they decay and when the bodies rise again, it will have a new body. So it will be raised in incorruption that will never die again. No more dishonor, chapter 15, verse 43. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Today that body may be a dead of a murderer, may be dead of an adulterer, may be dead of a criminal. But if that person has come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then that person, when he dies, and after when he is raised from the dead, he will have a new body. He will be raised in glory. No more in dishonor. There will be no more debility. Sown in weakness. Today, many of us are weak, including myself. We are weak. We have a lot of problems. But one day, all these weaknesses will go, and we shall be raised in power. No more depravity. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body that cannot be harmed by the things around. And so we find that this new body that is resurrected has a different nature from what it was before as a natural creation. Right. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body, and we must know that. Not only death changes the nature of the body, the fruit takes after its seed. Chapter 15, verses 45 to 50. Compare the first Adam and the last Adam. These were the two original seeds. The first Adam originated the natural man. The last Adam would generate and give birth to the spiritual man. The first man, Adam, he was made a living soul. Now, if you look at your Bible, especially King James Bible, you will note that Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam, Christ, was made a life-giving spirit. Now, that's not right. King James Version is honest. The word was made are in italics, showing that they are not in the original script. But they have been added in the translation to so-called make people understand. But they are wrong to do that, because Jesus was never made. He was never made a living spirit. He was the living spirit. He was the spirit that gave life. He was not made. Adam was made from dust, and God breathed into his nature, and he became a living soul. Jesus came from heaven. He's the Lord of heaven. He is not made. He is from heaven itself, and therefore the King James Version is honest in putting the word "was made" in italics to show that they are not in the original. And they think that by adding those two words, people can understand better. It's wrong, because that is not the correct truth. That which is natural belongs to the first Adam. Spiritual, the last Adam. The first Adam was earthy. He came from the earth. The last Adam is from the Lord of heaven. Came from heavenly. He's heavenly. So, only death and resurrection can transform the nature of the body. Chapter 15, verses 48 to 50. Only death can bring about so that which is corruptible can become incorruptible. And if the corruptible does not want to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to take the second Adam, the last Adam, as his Savior, then he will remain in his first nature, and that will be corruption. Now, this I say, brethren, that's the conclusion of the passage, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So, in our nature, in our natural state, we can never enter the kingdom of God. And that's why we must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And it's for this reason that all of us must be born again. And when we are born again, we take upon a new nature, we are transformed. So like a caterpillar walking about in the earth, it will then be transformed and become a butterfly, flying up into heaven, taking upon itself a new nature. A caterpillar cannot fly. And therefore, we need a new nature. We must be born again. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Verses 51 to 58 deal with something very, very important in doctrine. The passage reveals a mystery. Now, what is a mystery? To understand what a mystery is, we have to read Ephesians 3:3-12. And we learn from there that a mystery is a truth that is concealed in the Old Testament but revealed in the New Testament. In other words, the Old Testament prophets could not see this truth. It's only seen by the New Testament apostles and prophets because they were specially revealed to them by the Lord himself. Mystery. What particular mystery is Paul talking about in 1 Corinthians 15:51? He refers to the mystery of the church being taken up into heaven. And that is elaborated for us in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. And if we put these two passages together, then we are going to learn some important things. In the Old Testament, as I said, the mystery of the church raptured is unknown. The Old Testament prophet only sees two resurrections. Daniel chapter 12 verse 2. Daniel the prophet saw only two resurrections. That there will be the ones who will be raised to righteousness, and there will be the one who will be raised to condemnation. Two resurrections. And it does seem at that time that these two resurrections appear to happen at the same time. A simultaneous resurrection. But that is not so, because in between there is something else, the mystery, that was not revealed to the Old Testament prophets, but revealed to the New Testament prophets. And so we find that between the two resurrections, first resurrection and second resurrection, between these two resurrections, there would be a resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There would be the resurrection of the church saved. And there will be the resurrection, perhaps, of those also who go through the great tribulation. And so all these will come under The first resurrection. The first resurrection is not one resurrection. The first resurrection is referred to in Revelation chapter 20. But it is not one resurrection. It at least consists of the resurrection of Christ, the first fruits, them that are his, the church, and perhaps those also who died, who were martyred during the great tribulation. Because we see them in chapter 7, verse 14 of Revelation, in heaven together with the saints. And so we find that all these come under the first resurrection. And then after that, Christ will come. And when Christ comes, and by the way, when the church is raptured, it says that the rest of the dead did not rise. Because the rest of the dead will be saved and reserved until the second resurrection and the second death. That will be the time when the rest of the dead, those who are lost, will come to face with the Lord Jesus Christ at the great throne judgment.